Welcome to They Mostly Pot Out at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 144. That's right, 144. We have a full gross of episodes now of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Last week, we explored the black and white history of Japanese horror. This week, we're diving into the 80s. I guess one is late 70s, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
And we see how things have progressed since the black and white day. And this week, we're doing the classics. I guess people still call these classics, right? House from 1977, Evil Dead Trap, and Sweet Home.
Not Alabama. Close.
What's that?
Not Sweet Home Alabama, but close.
No, yeah, it's Sweeto Homu, or AKA Sweet Home. And House is also sometimes known as Houseu.
Yeah.
So,
Evil Dead Trap is not the third Evil Dead.
No, it's not. No,
I know. I'm just saying right now, someone at Suncoast, before the internet, told me Evil Dead Trap was part of the Evil Dead franchise, and I had no way of verifying it at that point in time.
Well, I'm pretty sure you look at the back and be like, this is a lot of Japanese folks being an Evil Dead movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but in fairness, they also had like the Italian Evil Dead movies that were Evil Dead, but in Italian, so it's hard to gauge what was real and whatnot.
I don't still have, you know, I don't think I still have it. I might still have it somewhere. I used to have a shirt that was an Evil Dead shirt. It was an Army of Darkness shirt, but it was in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
I found it in a t-shirt store. I'm like, why is this here? I don't know. I'm going to buy it.
Is that the massively buff Bruce Campbell?
Yeah. It's like, it's like the typically, you know, the painting version of Army of Darkness. And on the back, it had a whole bunch of Italian words. And people would ask me, what does it say? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. But I would, I would wear it all the time. It was great. I might still have it. I know it doesn't fit me anymore because I was smaller back then. But I might still have it.
That'd be awesome.
We'll see. I remember it said Tenebre on the back. That was one of the words. And that's the only one I can remember.
We did that movie.
Yeah. So it was in Italian and I thought it was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'll have to look for it. I got like an old hamper of old clothes I should look through.
Sweet.
Sorry.
It's all right.
So we'll start off with House from 1977. Now, there's a whole lot of wacky, goofy stuff that happens in this film. I'm not going to talk about all of it because there's a lot of it.
Benny Hill music ensues.
I'm gonna kind of focus on the basic story here. So what we get is we get seven Japanese schoolgirls who are named in relation to both their like personality and their skill set.
Think seven dwarfs.
Right. Yeah. So you have, I might not be able to name all of them, but there's Kung Fu, who is, you know, the tough, strong, brave one who also, you know, you guessed it, knows Kung Fu. There's Melody, who is the musical one. There's Fantasy, who is the daydreaming one. There's Gorgeous, who is the obsessed with her appearance one. There's Mac, who is kind of described as the fat one, but I mean, she's really not fat. I mean, maybe fat for like Japanese schoolgirl. I don't know. I didn't notice.
She looked the same as everyone else.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't notice anything particularly large about her. She just talked about food all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she does know how to cook the food as well. So I mean, that's, you know, she's got skills.
Mm-hmm.
The professor,
yep,
who had glasses and was the smart one and always wore like pants.
Yep.
And was that seven?
No, that's missing? Six.
Who am I missing?
I can't tell you off the top of my head either.
Whatever. I don't remember the other one. It's not as bad. It's a slight spoiler for the next movie. There's two characters with the same name but pronounced differently. It's okay. It's REI. One is Ray. One is Rie.
Yes.
Okay. You only have six characters in your film. Why would you name two so close together? Maybe in Japanese it's way different. I don't know. For me, I was like, who is she talking to? It's the same person. So you had to like listen. It's subtitled, but you had to like listen to how they say it to know which character they're referring to.
Oh yeah. Oh, I looked up. The other one is Sweet.
Sweet.
Because she's nice.
Oh. Oh, that's right. She was the one that was cleaning.
Yeah.
So she was cleaning because she's so nice.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry, Sweet. Okay, so essentially we are all introduced to all these people and we get shown their skills and stuff with little wacky montages and shit. We're supposed to go to like some camp or something and then that fell through. And then Gorgeous is mad that her dad has a new fiance.
In fairness, she just met her for the very first time. Yeah. And it's on vacation.
Yeah, so she's kind of upset about it. So she decides to write her like long lost aunt who she hasn't talked to in years because her mom is apparently dead. So she writes her aunt she hasn't talked to in years to asking if her and all her friends can come over like for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the aunt writes back, oh, yeah, that'd be great. You know, and so then they go on this kind of wacky adventure. I'm going to kind of leave out most of it because it's really annoying.
Uh-huh.
The adventure of them getting to this location. The only thing I'm going to mention, just because there's a stupid scene later that counts on it, is they stop at a watermelon stand and buy a watermelon from a wacky watermelon merchant guy. I'm just going to leave the rest of the adventure because it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they get to the house, they meet the old you know aunt who is like, you know, bound in a wheelchair and is like, you know, old and kind of invalid, but she's very nice. So they go in the house, you know, Sweet's like, oh, I'll clean up for you. Max like, oh, I'll go cook for you. And you know, it's like everybody kind of spreads out doing the thing that they're good at, you know. So Melody is like playing the piano. And, you know, Kung Fu is like, you know, kicking open closet doors.
It's stuck. What'd she do? Kick it.
She just kicks it off the hinges. Good plan. Gorgeous, like, immediately just, you know, takes a bath and is grooming herself for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they all kind of spread out through the house. So, you know, as they're like, you know, kind of preparing everything, they're like, oh, you know, we're going to cook for you, whatever. So Mac goes, oh, they put the watermelon like in an old well to keep it cold.
Because the fridge doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. The fridge doesn't work. So they put it in there to get cold. So she's like, oh, you know, oh, the food's almost ready. I'm going to go get the watermelon. So she goes out to go get the watermelon and she gets like attacked by like a ghost and she gets like decapitated.
Yep.
And falls into the well. Well, actually, they didn't say where. She just kind of disappears.
Yeah, her head goes into the well.
Yeah, her head goes into the well. So they're like, okay, that's weird. And then somebody else later on, which one goes and finds it?
I don't remember.
Whatever. One of them goes to look for her and goes to pull up the watermelon, and it's her head instead of the watermelon. And she screams and goes back, tells everybody. Everybody comes back out, and they pull it up, and it's just the watermelon.
Yeah.
So there's like ghosty stuff happening.
You think it'd be fantasy because she likes to daydream.
Right. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so the old lady now gets up from the wheelchair. She's like, oh, I can walk again. You know, you girls are revivifying me. Right.
It's mostly because she ate Mac.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. She's like literally taking her, you know, essence. So now we're down to six.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like eat dinner, whatever. And then Sweet is like cleaning out a closet or something. And she gets attacked by mattresses.
Yeah.
And then they like, oh, where's Sweet? They go look and they're like, oh, look at all these torn up mattresses. Oh, look, it's all Sweet's clothes, but she's not here. And now the old lady's like dancing around.
Yes, even in the rafters of the house.
Yes, yeah, so she like opens the fridge and jumps in the fridge and then ends up in the rafters. There's goofy, wacky stuff. Sorry, there's a magical cat named Blanche that has like sparkling green eyes. It doesn't ever really do anything. It's just kind of around. I guess it's kind of involved in the last scene, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's really it. So now we're down to five. And then Melody decides to go play the piano She goes and plays the piano, and then the piano essentially like bites her fingers off and then consumes her.
Yep.
And then her like her body parts are like dancing around in the room. And so they go down to like go check on her and find her because they keep hearing the music, but they can't find her. And they go down there to find her, and then they see her body parts like dancing around. It's like these weird like effects, like jagged digital effects. I don't know.
They're really not bad green screen.
Right. Yeah. This weird stuff is happening. So they're like, oh man, you know, what's going on? So that's the three of them are down. Now they're down to four. So it's the professor, Gorgeous, Kung Fu, and Fantasy.
Yep.
So Gorgeous is like basically like grooming herself the whole time, and she grooms herself into like an old school like geisha, and she ends up, I guess, like joining her aunt's side. Like her aunt kind of like brainwashes her to like be on her side.
Well, it's like almost like she's being possessed by the dress, the
right. So yeah, so the aunt is like, you know, back to like full strength now because she ate like three people. And they, at this point, they kind of find out that, oh, you know, because they're trying to like save Gorgeous, and Gorgeous keeps like, she betrays them like two or three times.
Every opportunity she has.
Yeah, she betrays them like two or three times. Anyway, they find out the whole story is that the aunt died a long time ago, but like, you know, her, I guess, desire for, to live kept her alive, and she has to like consume people to stay alive.
Well, it's because her fiance went to the war, World War II, and never came back. So she's kind of staying alive to in hopes that he comes back.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, he didn't die. And we see like a weird scene of like him in a plane, and we see the pilot of the plane die, but then he's just like sitting there like he's fine. We don't see the plane crash. So like, maybe he was alive. I mean, obviously he's not now.
Right.
Well, I guess at that time it was only like 30 years. But
yeah, it's chaotic sometimes in this movie. Let's just put it that way, I guess.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, there is like, to be fair, there is like Hiro Onoda, who was the guy who was still fighting World War II like 40 years later.
Right.
They had to like, you know, go find his old commanding officer who was like running a bookstore, and they had to like put him in uniform and tell him to like, hey, you need to like stop attacking the Philippines, because he was like an urban legend. Right. Anyway, so I'm just saying, like, I guess it's not out of character that he could have still been out there somewhere. Anyway, so it's kind of the old lady and Gorgeous against, you know, Kung Fu, Fantasy, and the professor.
Yeah,
I believe Fantasy dies first. Yeah, because she's like hoping for Mr. Togo, who is like supposed to be their chaperone, but he doesn't make it. He's trying to make it. There's like a wacky adventure of him trying to get there throughout the film,
including a child playing the bucket that stuck to his ass.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's very all these scenes are like very goofy, wacky scenes. Mm-hmm. And like he ends up, this is why I mentioned the watermelon guy earlier, is like he has a scene with the watermelon guy, and for some reason, like, they're like, I don't know, he's, the watermelon guy was like trying to be like a weird ghost monster thing, and he was like trying to get away. And he said, I don't like watermelons, I like bananas. And this, for some reason, he turned into bananas.
We see that after the fact, as, right, as the like last scene of the movie, essentially.
Right. So I don't understand what happened there.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, so the girls end up in a room with like the cats on the wall, like spraying fucking blood everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the room is like filling up with blood water. And they realize they have to like attack the cat, and they attack the thing on the wall, and it stops, but they all end up dying anyway.
Yeah.
And then the lady who is the Gorgeous's fiance shows up to like, I guess, try to win her over or something. And she finds the banana guy, in his car, and then she goes to like the house, and then Gorgeous is there, basically like having taken the place of the aunt.
Yeah, the aunt's essentially, the way I envision it, a witch.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, there's plenty of other wackiness in the middle there. I'm just leaving it out because I'm not going to bother describing it all. But yeah. That is, I believe, the gist of the story.
Yep. Fiend.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen this movie before?
No.
Okay. I have. It's been a very, very long time. But yeah, just especially as we did like the house episode for all four of them a couple months ago, this is like, I think, you know, house one was good and house two and like four, you know what? There's that Japanese house. Why don't we make it as wacky as that? And they did.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess, sure, that's an explanation, but I don't know. I think this one's just kind of unique. I think at this point, you know, I think House might be the turning point where most of the other people in the world kind of went like, okay, Japanese movies are kind of going their own way. We're just going to kind of let them go that way. And we're going to keep going this other way. Like, not a lot of people have tried to copy that wacky style.
Correct.
I mean, there's been a few. I'm not saying that nobody has. I'm just saying overall, they haven't really followed the wacky path. That's why, like, whenever like a movie gets famous in Japan, they usually remake it.
Yes.
Because it's very culturally different. And if they just released that movie here, most people like wouldn't care.
Right. Right. And I equate all the wackiness because this was made by Toho. And in the 70s, Godzilla became the same wackiness level as this movie. And so I think it's just that time period of Japanese cinema.
Right. Like I said, yeah, this was like the era where they really found their way.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, earlier stuff than this is like, you know, they had their own style, but they were like, you know, again, they were just starting out in their own industry. So they were, you know, taking hints from the greats out there, you know, the major films that other countries had been making, and then trying to make their own versions of that, right, with their own culture, their own, you know, stuff thrown in. And they did a great job of it. Mm-hmm. But this is when they truly were like, this is our own unique thing.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
I really appreciated that their names were their personality and skills. It makes it very easy to remember who is who, because like every time they constantly kept saying their names.
Yep.
To like reinforce who they were. And they constantly kept using like their skills or reminding you of what their skills were all the time. So I really appreciated that because it made it very easy to remember. I really enjoyed Kung Fu's like goofy attacks. Like she was literally like doing like Ultraman attacks on like closet doors and like light bulbs and this like random stuff, like random lanterns and poles and stuff. It was a good time. It was a good laugh every time. I really appreciate that they all just died. There was no like saving anybody.
Right.
Like they're just gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no final girl. They're just dead. That's it.
That's it. I like in the, let's call it the planes, trains, and buses scene.
Like, yeah, that is on my other side. Wow.
I'm just saying, there's just like, as everyone's like waving by, there's just a random white guy there.
That's white guys are allowed to be in Japan.
It's so out of place and funny. So I had made note of it. Honestly, part of this movie, I looked it up and it's not true, but do you remember Night Trap? The video game?
Yeah.
I feel like Night Trap was inspired by House 1977 in some ways.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I think it's just the same goofy level.
Yeah. It is. And I also put, you know, saying their name helped me understand who they were, because you know, it really helped. You know, they're like, oh, the fat one. I'm not really seeing the fat one, but okay, it helps a lot.
And like, yeah, I mean, her name was Mac, and she was kind of sort of dressed like Ronald McDonald. So yeah. Made it easy.
Yeah, and as soon as the professor took off her glasses, and like, shit, where'd she go?
Yeah, like, who are you? But she was the only one wearing pants.
Yeah.
Well, I should say she was wearing unique pants. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to tell by her pants.
Yeah.
She was sitting down. I have no idea.
Right. And I just thought it was really interesting. As everyone's dead, and these are schoolgirls, remind you, disembodied boobs for all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. You know, even like Kung Fu, after she get like attacked by the light and electrocuted and like blown apart, her leg still karate kicks the cat picture.
This does.
It does. But I'm just like, why is like body parts cool? And then like all I said, all of a sudden they're like all naked after they die, and they're just random boobs, which is weird.
Well, they're consumed by the old lady, and the old lady apparently liked, you know, cut apart pornography or something.
Sure. And it's just, yeah. Do we roll in my low points?
Go for it.
The music does not fit this movie in the slightest.
Yeah, literally, that's on my list too. I was like, wow, this music is fucking horrible. It's like happy all the time, even when people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And this is saying something for me. This movie's too wacky. It's supposed to be like, yeah, I like schlocky shit.
I was going to say, Mr. Killer Clowns from Outer Space thinks this is too wacky.
Uh-huh. I do.
All right.
And this, like I said, this is highly rated. A lot of people are saying this is the best haunted house movie ever made. I don't agree with that. This
nope.
It's a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
do I appreciate this film for what it is? Yes, I do. Like, mm-hmm. This is, again, it's a very unique Japanese telling of a haunted house story. I mean, I appreciate it for that. Is it my kind of story? No. But hey, whatever you're into.
Yeah. And I put, it felt like a 70s kids TV show with the style. Because yes, we appreciate them saying their names, but it's like, oh, like think of Power Rangers. How do you know the Red Ranger, who he is without the costume? He's wearing red. It's the same thing with their names too, though.
Yeah.
You know, it was just interesting. It just felt like seven dwarf-ish type things. The Waterman salesman, I don't think he should be around children. And I can't tell if he's like part of this mansion that's witchcraft, because he just, you know, the guy likes bananas. He gets mad at him, and next time we see him, he's a pile of bananas with a hat on. What powers does the Waterman salesman have?
Well, there is a like demon in Japanese folklore that's like a melon demon. So maybe he was one of the melon demons.
Maybe.
I don't know. Again, it's probably some cultural thing I'm not getting, but I'm pretty sure. Because right now it's kind of funny because we're doing Japan all this month, and I'm playing a Japanese game at present, and I just recently fought a melon demon in the game, so that's why I know this melon demon. Now, it's not like I know all the folklore; I just literally just played through a game that had it. So
that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I could go on, like I said, the wackiness. I'm surprised there just wasn't a dance sequence of them with all the disembodied people.
That's Bollywood.
I'm just saying, I could see this happening too, though. So, and like I said, the aunt, she's maybe a witch, and then just the dancing teleportation through the fridge onto the rafters, and just, that was out of place. I'm going to say out of place.
Yeah, fair.
So, that's what I have. How about you?
So we already talked about the music, how it is way too happy and just not great.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, the effects were pretty cheesy and goofy, but I mean, that's all right. I mean, there's a lot of like bizarre hard cuts and like hard edits,
mm-hmm.
in the film. Like, I understand they're trying to go for wackiness sometimes, but sometimes it's like, okay, you guys could have done another pass here. You could have done like that was unnecessarily harsh. Again, the adventure to the mansion I thought was just dumb. I was like, this is just goofy, wacky, like giggly, stupid shit. It was way too much. And then they had a couple of scenes in slow motion. And I don't know if like the slow motion frames were off or something, but it looks very bizarre. The other movies all have slow mo scenes and they're all similar to this. So I think it might be just the way Japanese folks do slow mo scenes. So where it's kind of like a weird, almost strobe light effect while they're doing slow mo. I think it might just be their style or something, but I don't know. It was distracting. I didn't like it. And that's all I got.
That's all I got. All right.
So, Graveyard House, 1977. This week we're going to do unnecessary slow-mo scenes because we just talked about why all these movies have them. So how many unnecessary slow-mo scenes out of 10 would you give this?
Like I said, you know, I want to watch this? I mean, could I watch this again? Yes, I could watch this movie again. It's not so bad. I'm not going to go, I've never watched this piece of garbage. It has its place. It's in the horror community, like, it is one of the top talked about Japanese horror movies that aren't, you know, pre-2000, I would say. And, like, the artwork is really iconic because generally it's just, like, the cat with the green eyes and the house with, like, a tongue coming off of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I will give it 6.5 slow-mo scenes out of 10. How about you?
I usually go for 7 if it's a rewatch. I don't necessarily want to rewatch this movie. I would go a little bit lower. I'm going to say 6.
Six
unnecessary slow mo scenes at that.
Yeah, it was just kind of hard to place this movie. You know, for me, I've been thinking about it for the past couple days, like where I'm going to put it.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so next up is Evil Dead Trap from 1988. And since it's Evil Dead in the title, you can go ahead and take it away.
Yay, it's me. So essentially we are introduced to the host of the Late Late Show, and she kind of just does weird stories, right? That like exposés and stuff like that. And she gets like a videotape that's like a video nasty essentially. And she's like, oh man, this seems like a real snuff film. I'm going to go investigate it because that woman looks just like me. Therefore, I'm going to go see where potentially someone gets killed that looks just like me. Okay, sure. So she convinces her writers and producers and, you know, cast to go with us and one of the guys. So there's, what, 5 people all together?
For one so.
And the guy. And they follow it and they eventually find their way to, like, this unlocked, abandoned... What would you even call it?
I'd call it like, I don't know, like an old like factory ground. Where there was like multiple buildings and multiple things all owned by the same company.
According to some people are trying to say it's a military base. I didn't see anything military about it, but sure, why not?
I think maybe they talked about it being a military base of some kind.
Yeah. So essentially they go there and let's say the movie is 2 parts, right? The first half of it is a good old fashioned slasher. The second half is like the third act where we get the exposition dump. That's literally like half the movie. So they're kind of, like I said, they're trying to investigate and they find where these things are being seen. And there's the slasher, the villain in this is essentially think the guy from I Know What You Did Last Summer, but with like a almost pillowcase over his face instead. You know, wearing the slicker and the rain boots and stuff like that. And he kind of it follows the slasher, right? They, you know, people slowly getting killed one by one. One woman just gets like almost like rails shoved into her like from 4 different directions. And eventually she does come down like a like a assembly line, like what you would like put like the hang carcasses like at a meat shop, the rails,
a meat hook.
Yeah, meat hook, but on like a rail, so he like gets shoved down to them. It's like, oh shit, she's dead.
Right.
You know,
like yeah, when you see the sides of beef in a freezer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that has the rails that go through the doors. All that stuff. And like, okay, this isn't good. And someone else dies. Okay, so we have the rail person. We have the person that just gets like, I'm trying to think who dies next.
Well, it's the one girl who's like, okay, I'm leaving, and she goes back to the car.
Oh yeah, and then there was one guy
that was like tied up earlier, who was apparently the boyfriend of the girl who was killed in the snuff film.
He
was held prisoner because we see him earlier with a ball gag in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, if I kill you, they'll let me go. But instead of just killing her, he decides to like weirdly sexually assault and rape her first.
Yeah.
And then as he's like raping and like killing her, the killer comes and kills both of them.
Right. He gets like harpooned essentially. And she gets like piano wire noose and drug over and strangled to death.
Right.
And like almost head cut off. So she's gone. And as they're trying to figure out a way out, they find the detective, right? Is he a detective?
He's just a weird dude with a black suit and sunglasses.
Yeah. Okay.
Who just says, hey, you should be hanging around here, and then disappears.
Right. And then eventually we have another guy who goes, yeah, you know, I was kept at a place like this growing up, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to help you guys get out of here. I grew up around here with my brother. Yeah, we do the ins and outs of secret exits. And, you know, typical fashion of, you know, somehow they go down a stairwell, but the stairs are like gone, so they fall into a pit.
Well, there was the one girl with the crossbow.
I was going to get to her. I think that's after that.
No, it was before.
That was before that. So she goes and hears her friend. She's like on the TV. She's like, where are you at? Where are you at? She's able to somehow hear her and lead her to there. And then we get like a jigsaw style trap where she goes to open the door to be pulling the harpoon gun. And she does it, but it misses her. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And then she goes in there and gets another tripwire. And then she gets like a machete blade just through the head, through the face, essentially.
Right. And then that's when the guy with the sunglasses comes back.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, hey, I saw the person, and then starts shooting because he's got a gun.
Yeah. But, you know.
And then that's when they start running down the stairs.
Yeah. We don't ever really see him shooting at the guy in the raincoat. We see him shooting, but we don't see them together. Essentially, right?
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, we get the scene of, you know, the reporter going, yeah, hey, I need to get out of here. And guy's like, yeah, go out. And she goes back to her van. And well, she sees the two people there. The killer comes back, drags their bodies. She kind of follows him back in there and locks the gate so no one else can get out. And then we go into the exposition of a final girl act. And we get like the whole backstory. Like she finds this room where a kid was held captives. And she hears like disembodied voices of the mother yelling, like, oh, you can't go out. How can you do this? Blah, 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 blah. Eventually, we see the guy come back. He gets unmatched. He's like, I know who you are. It's like, yeah, it's me. I was trapped here. And then we hear just like a squeaky baby voice. Best way to put it. It's like he's talking to.
Yeah.
Hideki. Right? And she's like, no, you got to kill me. You know, I have these powers. I can't do this. You have to kill me. So she shoots him. And then somehow in his body captivity, like a baby in a like brain sack comes out of him and is able to cause like sonic explosions and stuff like that. And she's like kills the guy, but then we find out it's like his brother that was like kind of living in him. That's the voice we were hearing this entire time. And the mother kept him there and abused him just because they are, you know, not fit for public, in her opinion. And then, you know, he kind of takes over the body as he's dead, because she kind of burnt him and set him on fire. And so he's controlling the body. He attacks her, grabs her neck. She kind of gets like burns or soot on her neck. And she stabs in the eye. He falls to the window, and his charred corpse just is ash and broken apart. You know, she comes back to her job, she's taken care of, and she's like, hey, I didn't take care of, you know, this is spotlighting everyone that died at this assignment. And all of a sudden, her neck starts to feel weird, and, well, the baby brother creature comes out of her as being born, and it says, Mama. End of movie.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. I also mentioned that they, you know, they purposely sent her the tape because she reminded them of their mom who abused them. They wanted to trap her there. So that was the trap for the evil dad. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Don't think I missed anything too big in this.
No. Not really. The one guy died, but I don't remember how he died, so.
Oh. Yeah.
I honestly don't remember. And, like, yeah, they had boned in, like, the weird abandoned warehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know. He died. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I said, for me, this wasn't my first time either. I watched this probably late 90s. I haven't watched it since, but. Yeah, this is. I think they chose Evil Dead on purpose in their title. Just throwing it out there.
I'm pretty sure it's just a bad translation of the Japanese.
That too.
The Japanese title of the film is something like, you know, ghosts that traps spirits or something.
Trap of the Dead Spirits?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's what its Japanese title is, and then that the kind of bad English translation of that is Evil Dead Trap.
The people who are
marketing it might have intentionally picked that. I'm just saying, like, the real Japanese folks who made this did not name it that.
Right. So yeah, just to get appeal to American audiences, I can see them doing that.
Right.
You know, 2 years after Evil Dead 2, so. Makes sense. This is your first time seeing it, right?
Correct.
So what are your first thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially just like two movies kind of, you know, constructed together. It's like there's like almost no time wasted them getting to this place. And then it's like 40 minutes of slasher and then 40 minutes of like a psychological thriller almost.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting conglomeration of all of that. But yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I'll go first for my highlights. I like the gore. The gore is pretty good in this movie. Yeah, you know, I don't think it was cheesy. I think, you know, the practical effects of this were good too, so I appreciate it for that. This is the first kind of slasher Japanese movie I've ever seen. It's, you know, it's not really like, especially the first half, it's like kind of like Americanized Japanese horror movie, because this is the 80s and, you know, slashers were huge in the 80s. So it's interesting to see their take on it. And part of it as well. And, you know, also reminded me a little bit of Argento and Fulci, some inspirations in there too. You kind of just think of, like, you know, New York Ripper and Tenebra as well. So it's interesting to see, like I said, I call it the westernization of Japanese horror in this movie.
To a degree. I mean, but it's still got its Japanese identity for sure.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the slasher part just seemed like a slasher we would have watched in America in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. It's just interesting to see it that way. Okay, so yeah, the brother and the twin brother and the baby things. Yes, that's Japanese as well. You know, that part for sure. But it's interesting,
right?
Oh,
you forgot the very, very end though.
The very, very end.
Yeah, when she was back in the studio making her show again.
Yeah, I said it came out of her.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you talk about the lighter and all that?
Oh, that someone drops the, gives her the lighter, right?
Yeah, no, this is after, yeah, the thing comes out of her and all that, and then she gets out of the whole thing. And then she's back making the show again.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody says, oh, somebody dropped this off for you. And it's the lighter that the guy was using to guide them through the tube. Meaning that he's not totally gone.
Yeah, set up the sequel.
Right.
There is a sequel, too.
Is there?
Yeah. There's Evil Dead Trap, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But those are my highlights. How about yours?
It's fun seeing the classic TV station and all the old-timey equipment, like the 80s equipment, which is probably top of the line at that point in time, but now it just looks old as shit. The effects were good. I mean, like that snuff film, and they're showing like the cutting them up and stuff like that, it looked very realistic. I mean, it looked like they did a really good job. All of the, gore and exploding baby thing was all very cool looking. Again, they wasted zero time getting to this, like the actual like plot. Like I think like from the start of the film to like the first kill is like maybe 15 minutes.
Oh yeah.
If you don't count the snuff film, if you count the snuff film, it's like 2 minutes, but if you don't count the snuff film, it's like one of the characters of the film is dead within 20 minutes.
Right.
Which is fun. The old school TV walls, I always love those. The old, like, the old CRT monitors that are all put together. I don't know. They always have that weird kind of surreal, kind of glitchy quality to them.
Mm-hmm.
It always makes everything look creepy. And what a twist, huh?
Yeah.
It's just a slasher, and then there's, a weird monster inside of the guy who's, like, psychic or... It's got telekinetic powers or whatever.
I don't know what the hell. Essentially, Belial from Basket Case.
That's literally, I have that written down on the other side. How I thought it was like a weird ripoff of Basket Case. Anyway, so that's high points, low points. That eye stab.
Yeah.
Man.
Gushing out.
Yeah. Oh, dear Lord, that was rough. Usually they always cut out right before something sticks in the eye, but nope, this one goes right into the eyeball.
And show it squirting everywhere.
Yeah, eye juice was squirting out and shit. Graphic. It was, realistic enough where I was like, yuck. There's a scene where she like finds an animal corpse being eaten by like these giant crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, those were disgusting. Look at those things. Are scary, dude. They're huge. Okay, the weird fucking rape murder scene, dude. I don't know what the fuck was going on with that. I was like, what is this guy fucking doing? Like, his girlfriend was just murdered,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he's like, oh, I have to kill you so they'll let me go. And then now he's raping her? Like, what? Yep. Like, what happened? What? Like, did I miss something? I didn't want to rewind it to see if I missed something. But I was like, I don't know. I feel like I missed something. And again, we already talked about how it's like a weird kind of slasher / thriller, half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily bad, but I was thinking in the bad column when I wrote it down. Then I also thought it was just like a bad ripoff of a Basket Case with telekinetic powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all I get.
Yeah. Like I said, the thing is, I was tricked as a kid. That's not this movie's fault. It's American marketing. I blame you, Suncoast employee, for sure.
Well, he was, Suncoast back in those days. I'll give you a little story. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the, well, you're not, you don't know anime. There's an anime called Trigun, right?
Okay.
Now this is back in the days when if you wanted to watch anime, you had to buy it on VHS, basically blind, because you couldn't rent it anywhere.
Right.
You couldn't, like, the only place that was like channel 66, where you had to like hold the rabbit ears above your TV to try to get the channel. And it would be like every Friday or Saturday night at like midnight, they would play an old anime movie. That was the only way to get it. Anyway, sorry, just getting distracted. So in order to like continue watching this series, I was also broke at the time, so I could afford one VHS tape per month.
Well, because those VHSs were like,
well, yeah, anime special order. Yeah, they were. Yeah, it was literally like $30 or $40.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the first one. I was like, this is great. I got the second one. I played it, and it was so bizarre. It was like, Trigun's kind of like a neo Wild West kind of thing. And the second one I was watching it was like a space opera. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I went back to the place and I'm like, you gave me the wrong tape. I'm like, this is not the right thing. It's like, it's labeled around. He's like, oh, okay, that's weird. Let me order another one. And he orders it again. And I get the same thing. But like, again, I'm just saying, like, they don't know what the fuck they're selling. They don't know what it is. They just like, okay, that's it. And it was an episode of that show. It was just so that like the next episode was like a weird, you know, prequel episode. That was like, you don't get it. But like, because it was the first episode on the tape, I was like, this has got to be the wrong tape. So yeah, I had to wait like a whole month to figure out. But anyway, yeah, that employee had no fucking clue. And most of them don't. They're just like, oh, here, yeah, I guess it says Evil Dead. I guess that's it. They don't know. They know as much as you do.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. Yeah, as I said, so that yeah, tricked me as a kid. I'm not sure if I got a movie sent to me with someone getting killed that looks like me. I'm confused that maybe it's me. I don't think I'd go investigate it. You know?
I don't think... I mean, well... you know, I mean, yeah, it looks like a young Japanese girl.
Yeah.
It was about as close as you got, like, looking like her. I think they just wanted to go investigate it because they sent a snuff film to her show.
Right.
And they were like, you know, hey, let's make a show idea of us investigating this to see if it's real.
I still wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, for sure.
She brought a lot of people with her. Most of the time, that would improve your safety.
Yeah.
You know, plan for a slasher film.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell the guy was not right in the head because he's drinking Wild Turkey. I don't think we needed the... psychokinetic creature baby brother. I don't think we needed that in this movie. We could have just done pure
that's
slasher.
The Japanese part of it. Come on, like, it's just a slasher movie. You take that out, it's just another generic slasher movie. You put that in and now it's classic. See,
oh, and his voice was annoying.
The baby voice.
Yeah,
yeah,
I did not like it. It was
else is a little baby tumor supposed to talk?
I don't know. I'm not sure you're gonna be able to hear him fully through someone's body.
Well, if he's psychic, he's got psychic powers.
I know. And I'm like, because the first time I really don't like, why are there so many random explosions in this movie? And then you get to the psychokinetic baby, like, oh, it's still weird, but okay.
Yeah, he can shoot fireworks.
Sure.
With his mind.
Yeah, that's hey, that's the villain from, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine. That's what she was the Mumbai in Xavier's mom. So there you go. That was the Mumbai. That's what I have. What are your low points?
I gave you my low points. You're the last one.
Ah, that's right. Yep. Okay. Sorry.
So Evil Dead Trap, 1988. This one I will say I did like it better than House. It had enough goofy, weird twists and shit of like interesting stuff happening that I was more into this movie than I was in a house. I'll say this one is, I'll go 7.75 unnecessary slow-mo scenes out of 10.
Yeah, like I said, this was like an interesting scene. This, like, you see homages to a lot of stuff and kind of like that take on it, but yes, right. At the end, it's very, you know, Japanese as well. Easily better than House as well, in my opinion. I'm definitely increasing this. I'm going to probably 8.5 slow-mo scenes out of 10 for this. It's definitely a good rewatch.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So last one here is Sweet Home from 1989. Now this film, well, I guess we'll just talk about that later. But yeah, so essentially, what is the movie? The movie is essentially it's like a TV show, I guess it's kind of like a paranormal TV show, right? They hear about this old mansion and they want to go investigate it.
Right.
So they have like an art restoration person that wants to go because the house owner was an artist and he supposedly did these old frescoes in his house and they're like lost frescoes of this famous artist.
Covered in asbestos.
Right. Yeah. And they're, you know, but it's also like they seemed like they were like a weird paranormal kind of like creepy host show too.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So they all get, they get to this old house. They basically break in, even though they have the key. And then they like set up all their equipment and stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, there's lots of creepy stuff here. Let's just sleep here.
As you do.
Which is bizarre. So it's, anyway, it's dad, his daughter, I guess kind of like the show director lady. The guy is like trying to sort of date her. She's pretty much into him, but they just like, they haven't really talked about it.
Right.
They have like their, the talent, which is like this really kind of, you know, creepy lady who's like very kind of like, you know, she dresses like Jackie O and like, she's very kind of like, you know, kind of stuck up snobby. Like, you know, I only want to do, you know,
it's my show.
Absolutely necessary. Yeah. Right. And then they have like another guy who's kind of like the tech dude. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he's probably like the cameraman or something, or just puts together the shit behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So they're all there. So essentially, yeah, the tech dude, he goes, you know, because they're like, oh, well, you know, there's no, the only electricity must be run by a generator because we're in the middle of nowhere. So he goes, finds the generator and starts it. And the process of doing so knocks over like a stack of stones with a skull on top. Which, mm-hmm. as we all know, is a mistake. You never knock over some kind of totem thing.
No, no matter where you are.
Right. So knocking over the totem thing has released whatever curse is there. So essentially, the after that happens, the talent lady, well, they find the pictures. They're cleaning up the pictures. Like, they do some shooting of, like, her basic going in the house and looking at the stuff and blah, blah. And then that night, that lady, she like gets kind of taken over by some kind of ghost thing. She goes outside and digs up a baby coffin.
Yeah.
And then brings the baby coffin back in the house. Well, I guess she takes out the weird zombie baby. And like the zombie baby is like seen moving and like crying and shit. So
mm-hmm.
we know there's some weird ghost stuff happening. So she brings the thing back in the house. So the next day, when they're like all trying to film the show, they're like, you know, they go into her room and they see this like baby carriage and this weird baby casket. And they open it up and they're like, oh, Jesus, a dead baby in here. Like, what the hell? And they go outside and they're like, oh, you know, the baby is like, she dug this shit up. Like, this is fucking weird.
Yep.
So like, they rebury the baby. The lady kind of freaks out and goes and like crashes their car. So they can't.
After like 6 feet.
Yeah. She like drives it into a tree immediately.
Yeah.
So yeah, earlier when they went and got gas, they met this like old timey gas station guy
who seemingly had like a death wish.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that's, I'm just introducing that's that guy. And yeah. She said, oh yeah, we're at this old house. And he was kind of telling her like, hey, don't go in there. But she was already driving. So this is when he shows up later. Now he's introduced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they have no car. They're trapped there. They go back to sleep. The tech guy, I'm trying to remember. No, she gets possessed again. And then she, she turns into like lava or something, right?
Yeah. Because she does it. Something turns into lava. And he gets like a big thing of lava like through the middle of him. So he's like disintegrated.
Well, he gets his head chopped in half by the big axe.
No, she does.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not the other? It doesn't matter. Whatever. No. They both die in this like scene thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, so somebody gets turned into, like, a lava monster, and somebody gets their head chopped in half, whatever. So, you know, they're kind of, like, all freaked out by what all this stuff that's going on. So the mom, well, I'm just going to call them mom, dad, and girl. I know that's not the mom, but whatever. I'm just going to call them that for simplicity's sake. They're like, you know, oh, we ran outside. Oh, no, we got to go back in and see what's going on, you know, with the people. Like, we can't leave without them, right? Because they're all mm-hmm. scared. They just want to leave. So the guy from the gas station shows up and he's like, you know, the Van Helsing of the movie. He knows everything that's going on. He yells at him for knocking over the totem, even though it wasn't that guy. It was the tech guy who's already dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, you know, if we want to go in and get these people, you got to go in now. He keeps telling them, just leave, just leave, just leave. They won't. So they go in to check it out. They see the two of them dead. And that's when they go, okay, we got to get the hell out of here. But, and then they realize they can't get out. And then the old man gives them the whole, you know, dumps the story on them of, you know, the artist guy who lived in this house, his wife, they tried really hard to have a baby. They finally had a baby. And the baby was playing inside the furnace. And the lady accidentally turned it on while the baby was in there. So the baby got horrifically burned. She ran into the furnace to get the baby. The baby died and she was like horrifically disfigured.
Right.
And so, you know, she didn't take it well. And so she kept kidnapping other babies from around the neighborhood and throwing them into the furnace so that her dead baby would have other babies to play with in the afterlife.
Yes.
And so the guy, you know, the artist guy, like, realized what was going on. And I, from what I understand, he, like, kept, it sounds like he may have killed her, but at least hid what she did and, like, you know, held her down, whatever it was. She confined her or something. And then she died, and then he died very shortly thereafter. But he never told anybody the whole story, but he kind of painted the story into the frescoes on the wall. So as he points to the pictures, he can, like, okay, that's what that means. Okay, that's what that means. Without him telling you that, you don't know what it is because it's just symbols and stuff. But now that he explains the whole thing, you, like, they understand the paintings and what they mean. And they're like, okay. So he's like, all right, well, yeah, we need to get out of here. And after they're about to get out, the daughter gets possessed. The daughter gets possessed by the lady, the ghost lady. So she runs in, like, the basement. So they have to go try to save her. So they go down in the basement. They manage to save the girl, but the old man dies in the process and, like, slowly melts lava style down to bones and then crumbles away. So they get all the way to the front door. They try to, like, they're trying to break open the front door because it's, they can't get out. And they finally break through. And as they break through, the girl gets kidnapped again. So he brings the lady outside, the mom outside, and he's like, okay, stay here. You know, if I come back with her, we got to go. If just she comes out, you got to run with her. Like, don't try to come back in for me. Like, just save the daughter.
Right.
And so he goes in, and he's kind of like never seen again until the very end.
Correct. We don't
know what happens to him. But, you know, she waits a while. She doesn't hear or see anything. And then she goes in on her own. And then she goes in, she goes all the way down in the basement and, like, fights the, you know, the illusions of flames to rescue the girl from the furnace. And then the ghost of the lady comes out and, like, turns into, like, a physical crazy monster thing. And then she essentially just gives the monster the dead baby. And then she just lets them leave. And so then they go outside and the whole house, like, well, not yet, but they get out and they're like, oh, the dad must have died. We couldn't find him, you know, and then, like, the kind of the curse lifts and the sun comes out. And then the dad was, like, hiding inside of, like, a armoire or something, or like a cabinet. And then he comes out and goes, oh, hey, we're all alive. And then they all happily skip off together. And then post credits, we see the house, like, collapse in on itself. And that's it.
Yes.
I don't think I left anything out.
No. Yeah. I looked up, it's the shadow that, like, made the guy. So we had, like, a Nosferatu, like, shadowy hand that chases them.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. That's what happened. I remember the guy got cut in half by the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I remember.
Yeah, because there's, you know, things live in the shadows, you know, because the dad wants to bring, like, the lights to fight the demon. The old guy's like, no, there's even shadows inside your fist. Whoa, man.
Yeah, let's say if that was true, they'd be dead all the time because it's dark in there.
Let me show you how strong I am by singing a song, then breaking this glass bottle, then immediately dying.
Yeah, I don't know what that whole song thing was. I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
No, that was not translated for me when I watched this movie, so I had no idea what he was singing.
The song? No, yeah. The song was not.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm like, I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Give me strength to, you know, bend this glass bottle. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I watched it. It was on, like, I think Prime or something. So it had, like, the, you know, the real subtitles, and the song wasn't subtitled in that. Yep. So.
Yeah, same here. but this is your first time seeing this as well, right?
Yes.
You know, what was your first thoughts on this? And are you disappointed we didn't get the video game?
Well, that's the major thing. I mean, if you want me to talk about the game, I can. But I mean, yeah, it was an interesting movie. I mean, this is a better Haunted House movie, I think, than House is.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're going purely on Haunted House stuff, I would say this is a better Haunted House film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's definitely got that Japanese flair to it. At least it's not too wacky. It's, you know, I mean, the monsters and the story of it happening is definitely a very Japanese type story,
right?
You know, very Japanese type monster, but like it's more of a traditional Haunted House film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say, I don't want to say Western film, but it's follows the same basic format.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's decent. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't watched this one in a very long time, and I don't think I knew that. I'm sure we'll get into the inspirations this did as well, but I don't think I knew that information when I saw this movie the first time. And knowing what we know now about the inspirations for it with the NES game, how, you know, inspired essentially Resident Evil, and rewatching it after knowing it, you can see a lot of that in there. You can see how that would work as a video game.
Yeah. Well, I'll just talk about it now. Right? Yeah. So it's essentially, the NES game is considered one of the best horror games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the game that kind of built the framework for survival horror in general.
Right.
I'm just kind of upset we never got it in America. It never came over here. It was a Japanese only game. I guess because, like, one, it was based on a Japanese film that we didn't get here. So, like, releasing a game based on a Japanese movie that didn't release in the United States would be even like a double whammy of no sales, right?
Right.
Because it's not an original. It's not like it's an original IP that nobody's heard of. That's bad enough. But it's like it's based on a film that nobody's heard of either.
Right.
The connection to Resident Evil is that the team for Resident Evil was built to originally be a Sweet Home remake.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that for some reason they didn't own the rights to Sweet Home, even though Sweet Home was a Capcom game.
And Capcom made Resident Evil.
Right. I don't know. But somehow they lost the rights, or maybe it was like the film studio owned it and let them rent it or something. Whatever it was. They figured out they didn't have the rights, so they just made their own new IP, which has ended up being Resident Evil, which was heavily inspired by Sweet Home, the game, mm-hmm. not necessarily the movie, the game.
Right. Yeah. It would have been interesting to see, because, you know, imagine a world where we didn't get Resident Evil.
If it just became a Sweet Home remake, right? We probably wouldn't have gotten that either.
Probably not.
Of a Japanese-only game based on a Japanese-only movie. So, yeah, that's a, you know, triple deep thing that we didn't have here. I doubt it. I doubt they would have released it.
Oh, yeah. Which is a shame. So, I mean, yeah, we did get arguably one of the best horror franchises of all time of this.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you want to go first for your highlights, or do you want me to go first?
It doesn't matter. I'll go first.
Okay.
I mean, that they're in the house within 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a fast, there's no like setup.
there's planes, trains, and all of
them. Yeah, there's no like getting to the house, really. It's like there's a basic kind of introduction of them trying to get the key, and then once they get the key, they're like, bam, they're there. Like within 10 minutes, they're inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no time wasted there. The old man melting scene was pretty cool. It was a little long, but it was like it showed like the entire melting of his like skin, and then he turned into a skeleton, and then the skeleton like crumbled into like dust, and they were just standing there watching the whole thing.
Entire time.
Yeah. But it was done well. I thought it was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the furnace story is kind of messed up, right? It was fun. You know, it's like, okay, so this lady murdering children so that her ghost baby would have other ghost babies to play with, like that's messed up.
Yeah.
And then again, yeah, that basically this film in spirit spawned like basically the entire survival horror genre of video games somehow, which is I'd say is a plus.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's it.
Yeah, I said NES game. And I was trying to remember. I was looking up. I don't think because there's reproduction games, and I thought I had gotten Sweet Home as an NES reproduction, and I don't think I did, which is a shame.
I know. I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere there was like a patched version, but I don't know if I would enjoy playing it now. Mm-hmm. I would enjoy looking at it, I guess. But
oh, I'm gonna play it. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I recall playing it before, but I just back in those realms. But it's a good game, and our American horror movie NES games were shit.
Yeah, I really don't remember many of them. The only one I really remember was Friday the 13th,
and it was shit.
Yeah, it was garbage because I was hard as hell.
Yeah.
For me as a kid, I'm like, this game is like unnecessarily hard. Like the kids kept dying constantly. I'm like, what am I supposed to teleport everywhere?
Yeah.
I don't really. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to like put horror, like real horror on NES, right? Like this, you can't really do that. I guess kind of like The Uninvited was horror-ish. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I said our horror movie tie-in video games we got were not good.
No.
At all. Like Friday the 13th, not good. Nightmare on Elm Street, not good.
Nah, I never played it.
So I'm just like, yeah, it's just we still have not gotten an official release of this. Like we've gotten other games re-releases for other things. Like, we actually got Final Fantasy 2 and 3 eventually. We got Final Fantasy 5 eventually. We got the original Earthbound. Eventually, this we have it, and that's bizarre to me. I said you definitely see the inspirations for Resident Evil, and I thought that Mr. Yamamura was like multiple American tropes put into one character.
For sure.
He's like, he's the gas station attendant that warns him, you're doomed. And then he's the exposition dump. And he's like the savior, all in this one character.
Right. Yeah. Like everyone else is civilians. And then this guy's like every hero trope all wrapped up in one.
Right. But that's like the classic American horror tropes that we saw in him.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see.
And he was wearing a goofy fishing hat.
Yeah, he was. Despite like almost getting crushed to death by his own car with his steam powered jacklift, whatever he had. And I always wrote this was a better house movie for sure.
Like I said, this is a better haunted house movie than House.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I like it. Like I said, I really enjoy this. I can go ahead and roll into my low points.
Go for it.
Allergies galore. Holy shit. Like, Emmy, she was just, like, making all the dust everywhere. Like, I wouldn't go into the room and start bouncing on the bed and getting all the feathers and down everywhere.
Wait, she was, like, tearing things apart.
She was.
She's like, haha, look at me jumping on the bed. And she's, like, ripping open pillows and mattresses and, like, throwing the feathers around. I'm like, okay, destructive child, please stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, burning babies, not good. But like I said, she threw herself in the first. How big's this furnace?
It was really big.
Right.
But like, how the hell was a baby in there?
What were you doing
in that weird ass basement with a fucking baby? And how did it get in the fucking furnace?
Right. I was like, as they were uncovering the murals, they're just going, an artist would never change his mind and change perception and sizes while in the middle of a work in progress. Artists can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure half the art of the world is like changed midway through.
Right. And the artwork was his descent into like madness.
Right.
So of course it makes sense. Like she just seemed very kind of saying like, oh, he would never do that. A fresco painter would never do that. Like, I don't agree with that.
Nobody knows what an artist is going to do. That's the part about being an artist.
Right. And for Yamamura singing the song, figuring out how to break and crush the glass bottle and being prepared, he goes awfully fast. Like he's just dead. Like as soon as we get down there, we don't see him rescue the girl. Here's the girl and I'm melting.
Yep. And then she gets kidnapped again anyway.
Right.
So like, what is the point, matter? Dude?
like he like I understand like I you know he's like I'm the savior, I'm gonna do this, and he just doesn't at all. He did not contribute at all, unfortunately. It's sad to see him go so fast. And I actually thought that this movie inspired the House on Haunted Hill remake as well. And I think it did better.
Okay.
So, those are my low points. How about yours?
Yeah. So, okay. If you're in like a spooky old house that's like got holes and shit in it, all that stuff, and like everything's falling apart, why the hell are you sleeping there?
No idea.
Like, they weren't that far away. Like, she drove to a gas station to get gas and was back in like 10 minutes. So, mm-hmm. like, there's got to be a fucking hotel nearby. Why would you just stay in a hotel? Why would you sleep in the creepy old house? That's just weird.
Uh-huh.
And that fucking baby casket, dude. Like, it would look like an H.R. Geiger baby casket. I've never seen a baby casket look so evil before.
Oh, definitely evil casket.
like, what kind of evil baby is in there? Like, what is it? Looks like a skull head moth cocoon or something.
Right.
And then Emmy, the daughter, she was just fucking annoying as shit. It was like, just leave her. Just leave her there. Your life will be better without it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah, you couldn't tell how old she was. She's talking about getting married soon. So I'm like, is she 14 or is she 20? Yeah,
that's another thing. I'm like, she's getting married? She looks like she's 12. But then again, I'm like, well, I don't know. As I'm getting older, like, I can't tell how old people are. Like, if you're under like 30, you look like children. So mm-hmm.
That's fair. All right. You want me to go first for number of unnecessary slow-mo scenes?
Sure.
I'm giving this a 9.
Nine, huh?
Yeah, I think this is the best one. It's there's a lot going for this movie. Like I said, it's not the cheesy haunted house movie. You know what I mean? It's not that wacky ass music that's in there. I think it's a well put together, good special effects haunted house movie. So I'm going 9 unnecessary slow mo scenes out of 10.
All right. I mean, I was this movie and Evil Dead Trap are very like close in mm-hmm. my mind, and I was trying to debate which one I liked better. And I think I finally decided that I think I liked Evil Dead Trap a little better. So I'm going to give it a 7.5 unnecessary slow-mo scenes out of 10.
Nice. It's a strong outing for this week's episode too.
Well, these are, I picked the classics from that like 80s era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a lot of bad ones in there.
I can guarantee that one, but this is why we're picking the good ones, right?
Yeah. Anything else you want to add in there?
No. I'm enjoying our month of Japanese so far.
All right. So join us next week as we enter the current century and see what some contemporary Japanese releases look like. And then we're doing more classics of the genre here. We're doing Cure, Pulse, and Uzumaki, which is about spirals, apparently.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of these. I'm assuming you've probably seen some of them.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Pulse.
Yep. So that's what we're watching next week. So remember, we watch mad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.